Amen. All right. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I will begin reading at around verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 11. Please remember to pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for these needs that we have mentioned tonight. You may not remember them all by name, but you can call out for every need. God knows the names. But call out on the needs, on behalf of the needs of your brothers and your sisters. All right. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 11. We're going to do something a little, I say different, even though I find myself doing this a little more and more as I go along now. But we're just going to walk a little bit through a setting of scriptures. And I don't have so much a set direction, so to speak. I do have a set direction, but I mean, I don't have a set outline and certain points and a normal type of study. I'm looking more to concept tonight, and so we're just going to see where the Lord takes us on this and just really just dig into the Word a little bit together. Is that all right with you? We're just going to go into the Word a little bit. Hebrews chapter 10, let's begin reading at verse number 11. This entire setting of scriptures, Hebrews from the eighth chapter, really the entire book of Hebrews, but from the eighth chapter and then walking on to just the beginning of the 11th chapter, is dealing with the new covenant ministry and the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And it's dealing with really what Christ has fulfilled for us. How many know Christ has fulfilled some things for us? I think it's important that we understand what it is that Christ has fulfilled, what his ministry fulfilled, what his sacrifice fulfilled, what his life fulfilled, what his now eternal office fulfills on our behalf. And so I want to look at this tonight. And with that frame of mind, that we're just going to talk a little bit about what the new covenant means and what Christ has fulfilled. In fact, in order to do this, I really want to back up a little bit farther. I always struggle with, I always say, well, I've got to be careful. I don't want to read too much scripture because people have a hard time sometimes staying engaged. But we need to learn how to stay engaged as we read through the scripture, because the most important thing that we could do when we come together is read scripture together. So I want to back up a little farther. Let's start at verse number 5. And we'll just read our way through this. And if I feel like we're kind of getting lost, I'll stop and catch up, and then we'll read on a little bit. Hebrews 10, verse 5. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, Christ, speaking of Christ, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Talking now of the Father, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. This is Christ in his office, his priestly office, his sacrificial office. He is now declaring this. He's prophetically speaking this. He is affirming this word that now he has come into the world. He's taken this out of Psalms. The 40th chapter, and he's attributing now to himself. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, Father, you had no pleasure. Now think about that for a moment. Think of all of the hundreds of years of the law where there were burnt offerings and sacrifices and sin offerings and animals being offered and all this, and now he's saying here, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Now, I want to stop right there because I want you to hear what now is being attributed to Christ out of Scripture. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. This the entire book, speaking of that old covenant, that old law, the entire Old Testament that they would have been reading from, in the entire volume of the book, it is written of me. everything has been about Christ. Everything points towards Christ, everything talks about Christ, and everything points back to Christ. And he said, it's written to me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, the law, that he may establish the second, the new covenant. He takes away the first, the old law, that was the animal sacrifice, the Day of Atonement, the things that would be pointing towards Christ, but that the Jews had lived under all of those years, pointing to the day that Messiah would come. But in Christ, those things now are fulfilled, and Christ now leads us into a new covenant that fulfills the will of God. He takes away the first that he would establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, I want you to hear this, because this concept that I'm going to share with you, it is vital that you understand. So I want you to notice that. I want you to underline that or make a note of that if you're taking notes. By that will, the will of God, that Christ would come, fulfill and do away with the old, and establish the new, that was doing the will of the Father, providing and fulfilling the will of the Father in Christ, that by that will we have been sanctified, we've been set apart, we have been set apart for God's use. We have been called righteous through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Let me say this. What we are bumping up against now in the Word is the essence of our faith. It is everything about this Christian life. Everything about our Christian faith is what we are bumping up against now. That we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Because he paid the price, he fulfilled the will of the Father. Because of that, we who believe in him, put faith in him, receive him as our Savior, because of Christ, we now have been sanctified through Christ. We have been set apart unto God, called God's own, redeemed, purchased, saved, restored, whatever word you want to put in there, it is all because Christ fulfilled the will of the Father. Now, let me just throw this out for you, and then we're going to read on a little bit longer. If Christ has already fulfilled the will of the Father, then there is no more we can now do to fulfill the will of the Father. We must accept what Christ has already fulfilled, and we must live in that. Okay. Now, verse 11. And every priest, he's now doing an analogy between Christ and the old priesthood. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. So if you would, in your mind, you could be standing there and you could be looking at the old priesthood, the Jewish priesthood over here doing their duties. And you could see Christ over on this side, and you could just see the analogy taking place. Okay, we've got the old priesthood, which Christ fulfilled. We've got the new priest, Christ, who has fulfilled the will of the Father. But yet, these are still over here trying to fulfill the will of the Father. Okay. So he said, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, and they never take away sins. They push them off, but they never take them away. They only pushed them off till Messiah would come. Okay, they covered them. But this man, Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, his life, his body, forever, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, okay? You gotta follow that. I'm taking my time here because it's important that you grab this. After he had offered that one, he sat down at the right hand of God. After Christ offered his life, sacrificed for sins, rose again, he did not continue daily offering. He didn't now, there is no more day of atonement that we have to offer. Christ did it one time, it's over, and to show that it's over, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Okay? The right hand of God. And from that time, he's waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Now listen to verse 14. This verse, verse 14, is what really grabbed my attention. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. I want you to see. I'm going to tell you, your eyes can be open to this. There is a revelation here that can change your outlook. When we understand Christ, what he fulfilled, what he's accomplished, and what it means for us. For by one offering, what's that mean? What is the one offering? Christ, his life. Hanging on the cross, paying the price for sin, paying the penalty, shedding the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. He hung on the cross, died, said it is finished. It gave up his spirit, finished the work, completed the will of God. For by one offering, with that offering, for those that will believe in him, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Let me tell you what this is. That verse is the gospel of God's grace in a nutshell. That verse. That's God's grace. Let me explain it to you a little bit. Here's God's grace. That Christ fulfilled the Father's will, paid the price, died for sin, that those that will believe in him have everlasting life, and through that one act, Christ perfected us who are still being sanctified. Who are still in the process of being set apart for service. Who still are working through some things. Who still are living in this world. How many realize there is a time of sanctification when all of a sudden we realize Christ, who is our Savior, has set us apart and the world loses its hold on us. But even after that, there is still a process that we walk our way through of righteous living. This, I believe there is a balance struck in this scripture that lays out the gospel of grace that in our world gets so out of balance, because all people want to talk about is, when they talk about grace is, well, Christ saved us, and that's all that matters. Nothing else matters. My life no longer, it really doesn't matter what I do. As long as I believe Jesus is my Savior, nothing else matters. That's what is attributed to as the gospel of grace right now in our world. They will teach that the gospel of grace simply means that once you accept Jesus, you don't have to worry about how you live. You don't have to try to live according to the word. You just go through life. You are redeemed, you're saved. It's only by God's grace, so no works can save you. That's the truth. No works can save you. But they've left something out of that message. And that is, yes, the sacrifice Christ made, the offering, has perfected us, has completed us forever. You can never add to the completion, the perfection that Christ brought to us on the cross. But he brought completion and perfection to us by faith, God's grace given to us, and he gives it to us who are still being sanctified. So as long as we are walking on this earth, we are still in a process of growing and maturing and laying things down and learning things about the Lord, but we have been perfected in Christ. We have been completed in Christ. Our salvation is settled in Christ, but He is still helping us as we walk on this world. So, it doesn't mean then that we can live any way we want. If we have accepted His offering, we now live in Him. We are being on a daily basis, we are being sanctified. Every day we are set apart for God's service. Sanctification, that's what the word means in that understanding. Well, every day we are set apart for God for something. And therefore we must be obedient in that daily walk. Even though Christ perfected us with His sacrifice. Come on, are y'all with me? Now you just gotta walk with me. Now watch what he says. For by one offering, Christ has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Verse 15, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. I underline that in my Bible, those two phrases. For by one offering, Christ perfected us forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses. And here's his witness to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Now follow with me, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I want to stop right there. We'll pick it up in just a moment. So, here's the concept that I want you to catch tonight. And like I said, I don't have a lot of different places to go. I want to drive this concept home. It was by one offering, Christ offering His life, that we are saved. That the will of the Father was fulfilled. Christ did everything that we could not do, Christ fulfilled. And by that one offering, He perfected those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also witnesses to that. When the Holy Spirit says, this new covenant that Christ has set up is not a covenant like the old, where there had to be men who told you the word and priests and prophets. In this new covenant, the Spirit of God and Christ Himself writes His laws in our hearts and upon our minds. That every one of us now are responsible to receive the word in our hearts and on our minds and walk them out in our life. And the Holy Spirit witnesses of that to us and directs us. And the Holy Spirit reminds us where there is remission of sin and everything that stands in our way, there is no longer an offering for sin. We're not trying to We don't live our life having to have our sins forgiven over and over. Christ did that. We live our life now in Christ, having His laws, His precepts, His ways written in our heart and on our minds so we can live them out every day. And the Holy Spirit witnesses that to us, points us to Christ. Come on, somebody. I know this is a little bit deep, but this is Wednesday night, and we need to go a little bit deeper. We're not just in the surface now. We're digging a little deeper. If you want to know how to live an overcoming Christian life, this is the answer. You got to grow up, and you got to mature a little bit, and you got to get out of this thinking that, well, all I need is to confess my sins to the Lord, and then nothing else matters. I can keep on just living the way I've always lived, and it really doesn't matter. Now I know Jesus, and He's my Savior, and He knows me. He doesn't expect me to change, and that's just not true. That doesn't work. That's just not true. He now, when He fulfilled His offering, He perfected you, but He's giving you something daily. He's writing His law. If you're His, He's writing His law in your heart and on your minds, and He expects you to walk it out. And He sent the Holy Spirit to remind you of that consistently. Are y'all still with me? See, this is not cheap. This is not, we have made this walk with Christ so superficial that we have lost the depth and the reality that changes lives. we should have a depth and a quality to us that the world does not have. And the depth and the quality to us is not simply a confession of Christ. The depth and the quality to us is the law, the precepts, the Word of God written in our hearts and on our mind. And witness to us, reminding us by the Holy Spirit so that we live those things out on a daily basis. That is being sanctified. As we receive His laws in our heart and mind, and we live those out. And in verse 17 he said, and then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I'll remember no more. Okay? I wipe those away because Christ perfected you. And where there is a remission of these, there's no longer an offering for sin. So you've already covered sin, but what are you doing about the law and the precepts and the Word that Christ has written in our hearts and on our minds? That the Holy Spirit is witnessing to us about, leading us in. That's where we should be growing. That's where we that are being sanctified should be different. Our lives should be different. What we strive for should be different. And then he goes and he says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter, in verse 19. It takes some boldness to enter into the holiest place because it's the Holy Spirit that says, these are the precepts, these are the ways, this is in your mind, this is in your heart, walk in this, and when you do that, you can enter in to the holiest places. Because Christ has perfected you. Christ has paid the price. Christ has made the way. Christ has done away with the old. Quit trying to atone for sin and start living in the atonement of sin, Christ. And quit focusing on the sins of the flesh and start focusing on the law and precepts of God that's written in your heart and on your mind and start walking in those so that you can come into the holiest places. Oh, how many of you want to boldly walk into the holiest places? That's the place where the miraculous is. That's the place where the presence is. That's the place where I mean, you know, that's the place where your fellowship with God just explodes. Your walk in Christ becomes brand new. The old things pass away and all things become new. The old man is put off and the new man is put on. It's in the holiest place. But the only way you're going to walk there is by not continuing to live in sin that needs to be covered by blood, but yet live in the law that's written in your heart and written on your mind that the Holy Spirit is leading you to walk in so you can walk in boldness and you can move into the holiest places. Is anybody, do you see that? To me, when I see that, that becomes life-changing. Watch what he says. Verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Verse 20, here's how. By a new and living way, which Christ consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. A new and living way. You come into the holiest places by a new and living way. There's something in that grabbed me about the gospel of grace. We focus on the new, Robert. How many know when you accept Christ, you become new? But do you know also you're supposed to become living? Let that soak. You become new. You become a new creature. But you're also supposed to become a living creature. And the living creature now you have become has the Word of God, the new law of God, the new covenant of Christ written in your heart and on your minds, witnessed to by the Spirit for you to walk in. And it's a living way. It's a new way, and it's a living way. Ah, come on now. I want to tell you. See, sometimes in the past, sometimes we got so focused on righteousness that we went to legalism This is not legalism. This is a new and a living way. I believe God is looking for some people who will not only want him to make them new, but will allow him to cause them to live in the newness. Because Christ made a way for us to the holy places, and that way is a new and a living way, which Christ consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We're going to keep going, but I got to stop there. See, if we will allow this can change everything for us, because now we are new and there's a living way that Christ leads us. We've got too many people that they're not living this new life. They declared it once, but they're not living it. They claimed it, but they're not living it. And they're still stuck in this world where it's mingled with sin, and that's the old way. That's in that day, that was when they had to go in, and every day they had to make atonement. And every day they had to cover sin. And every day they had to go in because they didn't do something right. So they had to go give a certain amount. They had to do that in order to keep walking and keep living and to stay righteous. They had to do that. And it was mingled with the flesh. But Christ came and did away with that. Oh, come on, somebody. That's grace. He came and did away with that. If you will accept him in your life, you don't have to stay on that path. You can walk now in a new, and you can live this new way. And that is his law, his words in your mind and in your heart, and the Holy Spirit causing you to live them out. You can come boldly into the holiest places where his presence is, where his miracle is, where his answer is, where his changes are. And you can walk in those, and you can live in those. And he said, here's what you got to do. You got to draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith. And you have to hold fast the confession of your hope. What is the confession of our hope? What is our hope? Jesus is our hope. So you come into the holy places, living this new life, confessing your hope, which is Jesus Christ, who paid the price. You see the focus change? There's a focus change. So you hold fast the confession of your hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let's keep going. Verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So we're supposed to live this thing now together, and we consider each other to stir one another to love and good works in this living path that we're walking. We're new creatures on the living path, moving into the holy places where the miracles occur, where the presence of God is, where life change is, where favor is found, where all these things we're after come. And then we need to consider one another to stir one another up to good works and love as we walk this path. Amen. And in verse 25, people preach this all the time as church. It's not about church. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. It's assembling yourselves together under this new covenant. Staying attentive to this new covenant. Coming before Christ. Coming together before him. Stirring one another up to good works. Walking in it. Living in it. Because he's made us perfect. Those who are being sanctified. And so we have to come before him to say, here we are, Lord. We assemble before him as he reveals to us his law and his ways so that we can continue to walk in this new and living way. Now, I hope just as an overview you can hear that. And then he goes in and he talks about the just will live by faith. And then he goes into chapter 11 and he talks about the faith chapter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So here's what I want to say in this idea and in this concept that I just want to share this with you. When you come to Christ, you are perfected forever because of what he accomplished. And you are being sanctified constantly. You are being set apart constantly for a purpose to walk in this new and living way. And you must keep your focus. Your life is dependent on no one but Christ. Christ fulfilled all of the Father's will. And the only way to keep walking perfected in Christ and walking is by faith. And James tells us, faith without works is dead. So this new and living way is a way that is full of provoking one another to good works and love. Because it's the living way where we're living out what's written in our hearts and on our minds. Seems to be hard to even get there in our day and age. We are so surface with our Christianity today. This life should envelop everything about us. This life in Christ should be what we talk about constantly. It should be what we are about. It should be what we're recognized by. When we come together as believers, we should be provoking one another to good works and love. This thing is supposed to be written in our hearts and on our minds. We're not supposed to be caught in this trap of claiming Christ, but coming every day, our emphasis is these sins that have to be covered up. That's a sign of those who have not fully moved into the new covenant. Amen. Because when we move fully into the new covenant, we see Christ has perfected us, and now our focus becomes what he's written in our heart and on our minds. And we walk that out as the Spirit guides us. And we focus on Christ. And we come into the holy place. And do you know in the holiest places, sin cannot abide there? Let me help you out. If you're struggling with sin, you need to give your sin to Christ and you need to walk into some holy places. Because sin can't live in holy places. Amen. That you can go through all the steps you want to go through. You can go through all the rituals and all the things you want to do, and it's just the old law. Or you can live in the new covenant, and you can put it all in Christ, and he fulfilled the will of the Father, and you can start walking by the Spirit and what Christ has spoken to us in his word, and you can start moving with him, and you can start walking with him, and you can come boldly into the holiest places, and there sin cannot dwell. If we would stay in the presence of the Lord. Amen. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. If we could stay in the presence of the Lord, if we could walk into the goodness of God, the sin of flesh can't stay there. That's the new covenant. See, Christ did something radical. We've lost this. Christ, the old covenant was a covenant of, yes, we're God's people, but yes, we sin every day. How many know that's old covenant thinking? They were God's people, but they sinned every day. They had to bring sin offerings all the time. And we've got too many Christians that are living with an old covenant mentality in a new covenant world. Oh, but Pastor, I don't know how to get past. You got to stay in the presence. You got to keep walking in Christ. You got to understand he fulfilled the will of the Father. You got to get a life change. You got to start walking on a new and living path. How many know a new and living path doesn't happen just on Sundays and maybe every now and then on Wednesday? That's not a new and living path. That means you're on the new and living path on Sunday and every now and then on Wednesday, but then Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you're on the old path. How many know you don't get to the holiest places that way? You don't walk out of the old covenant that way. You don't leave the old things behind. You don't put on the new man that way. You can have Christ here. But the thing that Christ came to do was not just so you could say, yeah, Jesus is my Savior. What Christ came to accomplish was to redeem you and to write His new law, His words, on your heart and in your mind. I'm probably not doing justice to that, getting it across the right, but are you hearing that? He came to fulfill more than what we're living in. We've settled for so much less than what He came to do. No, notice, Christ, look at verse 10 with me. Verse 9, look at verse 9. Then He said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first that He may establish the second. By that will, the will of the Father, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. He fulfilled the will of the Father. He did away with this, and He established the new. The question is, will we walk in it? Well, I don't know how to walk in it. By allowing Christ to engrave it in our hearts and in our minds. And allowing the Spirit to witness to us. You know, you want to know why it's important to strive to be filled with the Spirit. And not just a one-time occurrence. But to be being filled. To be full of the Spirit on a consistent basis. Because then He's witnessing to you every moment of every day. Of the law that now has been written in your heart and on your mind. And He's leading you and walking with you on a new and living path. Into the holiest places where your life is reflecting what Christ accomplished. How many want a life that reflects what Christ accomplished? That's the essence. That's what hit me. The gospel of grace is that we, as men and women, because of Christ, can now live lives that reflect what Christ accomplished. You need to write that down. The gospel of grace, what it truly means, grace means, it doesn't just mean that we can be saved. Grace means that we are saved by faith in Christ, and we are enabled to reflect, live lives that reflect what He accomplished. Can you do that on your own? I can't live a life that reflects what Christ accomplished on my own. But in Him I can. Because in Him I've been perfected. And He's sanctifying me daily. He's setting me apart all the time. And He's leading me and He's guiding me into the holiest places where I have His presence. And I have the miraculous and I have the opportunity and the possibility. Amen. I want a life that reflects what He accomplished. Paul lived that kind of life. That doesn't mean even that we're perfect. But it does mean that our lives, even though maybe imperfect, are reflecting what He accomplished. New Testament talks about there are vessels, some for honor and dishonor. There are vessels that have been fashioned to accomplish the will of the one that fashioned them. That's what we are now. How many of you think that Christ died so that we could claim to be saved, yet live no different than those that are not saved? That doesn't even make sense. And then justify that by saying, well, God doesn't really care about it. Sure He does. That's the whole reason He sent His Son. His will was that we would reflect what his son accomplished. Wow. Okay, think of it this way. Think of that Old Testament priest. He would go in and he would offer sacrifices. One time a year, he'd go in on the Day of Atonement. He would go in and offer sacrifice for sin so that Israel could reflect the Father's purpose for them. But in order for that to continue, then even after that, they had to continue to bring sacrifices daily. But Jesus said, enough of that. That was just a type and a sign and a symbol. I did it. So you can live it. I told you I just had the concept in my mind. You've got to get a desire to reflect what Christ accomplished. I think the only thing holding us back is that. The only thing holding us back is when we lose our desire to reflect all that Christ has accomplished. When we get tied up in the things of the world and our desire falls on things of the world and our desire falls on our excitement, our passions, or the worldly things that get in our way, then we no longer reflect what he's accomplished. We can't add to it, but we can live in it. No, they did. That's right. That high priest, he never could go in boldly. You know how we know that? Because they used to tie rope on their leg with bells on it. Because if he went in with sin in his heart, didn't do something right, into the holiest places, he'd be struck dead. And they would stand outside with that rope, and if they would go a little while and the bells quit making noise, that meant he wasn't moving anymore, and they had to drag him out of there. But like Robert said, but Christ said, no more. Now all of you can come boldly into the holiest places because you can reflect what I have accomplished. What those men could not do, I did. That's what he's saying. And I did it once. For all, it's not a yearly thing. It's done. And I've written this on your heart and in your mind. And no one else has to validate you. And no one else has to pick you. You just have to come by this new and this living way. Amen. Verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us. It's a new way, and it's a living way. That's the new covenant. That's what Christ fulfilled for us. And if you can make it into the holiest places, you can find answers for everything you need. You can find provision. And you can find promise, and you can find the miraculous presence. And Christ said, come boldly. Just a challenge maybe for us. He says, in verse 35, he goes on, he says, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And then he says, and I am going to close here, and then, remember, we made chapters out of this to make it easier to memorize. But after he says we are not of those who draw back, and after he talks about the just shall live by faith, and after he has laid all this out about what Christ accomplished, we come to Hebrews 11 and 1. And you got to remember in the letter written, it wasn't Hebrews 11 and 1. It was just carrying on the same mindset here, the same thought. And then he says, now faith that you live by now is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. He told us, by faith, you come to Christ. And faith gives you hope. Faith is all the evidence you need. Come this new way. Come this living way. Don't settle for the old. Don't stay living in an old mindset. Lay all of that down and desire to reflect what Christ has accomplished. He's perfected you. There's nothing else he has to do to complete you. He's already done it. He's still sanctifying us, because until the day we are taken to glory and we're changed into his image, there's still yet things that need to change about us. But we can walk in this new and living way and reflect what he accomplished. I hope that'll just spark you to think a little bit. Stand to your feet with me. I hope that will grab your attention and cause you to say, wow, with his word in my heart and in my mind, and with the Spirit guiding me, I can come boldly into the holy places, and I can truly reflect what he accomplished. And we can live lives that set our world on fire. Let it be to us. Let's pray. Father, take this concept